Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Monday, our neighbors are back.
Your stupid therapist says that we're having intimacy problems, and now she's cutting me off for a month.
Dr. Chen made us do that, too. Really put the no in November.
Cedric the Entertainer and Max Greenfield star.
I'm already going crazy. I saw two melons on the counter and almost had to take a cold shower.
The CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
You and I will always be there to keep each other warm.
Gross.
New Monday, 8, 7 central on CBS.
One day they'll tell a story, and some will say it was just a fairy tale.
Everything you said is true. Absolutely true.
14 years as Charlotte mayor.
Always given, never taken.
But you're having fun. I know you are.
I'm having a good time with Bo Thompson.
Somewhere between the right and the left, there's the middle.
4 years as NC governor.
This is the best of America. God bless y'all.
Behind the scenes conversations.
You can't handle the truth.
No talking points.
Hey, Pat, it's Donald, and I just want to tell you to keep up the good work. We're proud of you.
Perspective you won't find anywhere else.
Don't put your stupid hat on.
WBT presents.
It's time for a Carolina comeback.
The Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson.
Oh, yeah. I always go right, guys.
One love, one life, when it's one need.
Well, Bo Thompson. Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson, the hardest working guy in radio. John Moore, the greatest producer in radio history here at WBT. I'm honored to announce that we're now part of the Radio One Network, which is part of the Urban One Network, a national radio network where we're kind of bartered in a trade with Intercom. Apparently, you know, Intercom was sending me memos for the last 3 years on what I could say and what I couldn't say. And apparently, from what I hear from sources, they got tired of the memos to me and bartered our radio station with another radio station. And but we're honored to be a part of the Radio One network. And the good news is we got to meet the management from Radio One last week. They came by and said hello to us, and very nice individuals. And I look forward to building a relationship with them. The bad news is apparently part of the barter deal between our network with Intercom and now with Radio One is they... Intercom no longer wanted to keep David from Asheville. As you know, he got promoted up to be executive vice president of Intercom.
Wait, no, I did not know that.
Yeah, he was working in New York. He never made it to New York. And apparently, because he never showed up for his job, they told Radio One Network, listen, as part of this barter deal between the two networks, we want David from Asheville to go from Intercom also to Radio One and go back to his old job at WBT and the Pat McCrory Show. So he is back to being executive producer of the Pat McCrory Show. David, we'd like to welcome you back to our studio.
Feels good, man. One.
One.
You and me are one, Pat.
One. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bo, we're one.
John Moore is real pleased to see you back.
I sent him to get me a snack.
Let's start a bet on how long David from Asheville will stick around Radio One as an employee. How long will Radio One put up with David from Asheville? And how long will David from Asheville put up with Radio One? We're going to start doing a little bet. You know how you bet how many... Should we do it by hours or days or weeks or years?
Centuries.
Work days.
Work days. Something. Oh, welcome. Yes. Welcome. We're glad to have Radio 1 be a part of the Pat McCrory Show, or Pat McCrory Show being part of Radio 1. Probably be a better way to put it.
Yeah.
But, you know, guess what, Radio 1? You've got the number one radio show in Charlotte. The Charlotte region radio market. We're the number one radio show, and We hope to continue that and even build upon that, and we look forward to your input and our relationship and our friendship. And David from Asheville's not going to last long, I'm guarantee you.
One for one for showing up for Radio One.
Let me just tell you, Radio One, what you need to institute real quick. Drug test. Drug test, please.
Oh, welcome back to the studio, David. It's been a while.
What made you think of that, Pat? Good morning.
If only we were in Colorado where marijuana is legalized. Oh, excuse me, recreational marijuana is legal.
Mm-hmm. I'm planning the trip out there this summer.
Yeah, you have a summer house there. What are you talking about?
Well, anyway, we've got some big things to talk about. The whole transition, the Trump lawyers have changed again. We're going to be talking about the transition from possibly the Trump administration to the Biden administration, some of the people Biden is putting on his new team. We're going to be talking about the new light rail plan for the city of Charlotte that's been proposed. Does it make sense? Do we need to increase taxes for more light rail and the streetcar and other things? I've got some opinions on that.
Governor Cooper has announced he will be holding a news conference this afternoon.
Ooh, some material for tomorrow. Yeah. So we look forward to that.
And another, that now AstraZeneca has joined the mix of the vaccine mix. Say they have
What did you say?
AstraZeneca.
I don't know that word. Is it legal on Radio 1?
That's a third drug company.
Is that a legal word? Let me check the Radio 1 memo. What's that word again?
AstraZeneca. AstraZeneca.
Oh, I do not emphasize the first part of that syllable.
AstraZeneca.
There you go. There you go. Radio One executives so now, just said.
Three vaccines.
In fact, right now, already, the new HR executive for Radio One is already at our window holding up signs on what we can and cannot say.
The Radio One era of the Pat McCrory Show has started and ended. That was short. 8:12
This could be my last day.
8:13 on WBT.
Could be. You never know.
Why are you laughing so loudly at that notion?
What are you?
I can't even deal with this mess right here.
Well,
Pam, there's no traffic today. I just want to let you know I came into work today. Nothing.
Well, that's a lie.
What a way to start out the Monday.
That's right. Oh, we're just getting them accustomed to how we do things
see,
here.
She wants traffic so badly.
I do like my job.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110 99.3 WPT.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up out of it.
So it was about 4 years ago that I was sitting in the governor's mansion, still in a state of semi-shock and disbelief that I lost to the Attorney General Roy Cooper for governor of North Carolina. I, like the President of the United States today, was going through a recount and was very suspicious of what happened in several cities during my election. Primarily because of 100,000 votes that showed up at the last minute in Durham, North Carolina. And I was convinced there were some irregularities on the voting machines. I thought there was voter fraud. I also thought there was some ballot harvesting. So I had a team of lawyers out there finding cases of voter fraud, finding some issues that raised great concern about our election in 2016. But as the recount continued, two things were kind of hitting me in the face. One is the recount was working against me at what started as a $5,000 vote separation between me and now Governor Cooper out of 4.6 million votes became about a 9,000 vote separation. In addition, my lawyers were finding voter fraud, where the lawyers representing the McCrory Recount Committee were finding some cases of voter fraud, but nowhere close to the number that I could justify calling for a new election or having the state legislature intercede and actually determine what they think the election should have been, which the state legislature had that right to do. So I finally had to make a decision based upon no proof in my hands that I could take to a court of law or that I could take to the state legislature. I had to finally make the decision to concede. And it was an extremely difficult decision, not only for me and my family and to give up a job that I love, that I thought we did an outstanding job on, but also for the millions of people that voted for us. I didn't want to give the impression that I was giving up on them. But I made that decision for the sake of our state. So I did a videotape on the second floor of the governor's mansion. I decided not to do a
press conference.
I decided to do a videotape. I had a good friend of mine from my communications office. I said, bring on a camera, and we're just going to do a quick videotape, and I'm going to speak from the heart and get this over with, and then work on a transition to help the new governor and also help my team transition out, because I had a lot of employees that need to go look for new jobs because they had families to feed and so forth. And the longer I drew this out, the more difficult it was going to be for them to get a new job. This is what I said.
December 5th.
December 5th?
It was 5th, yes.
The 5th.
2016. Here you go.
As Ann and I get ready for the Christmas holidays, we are reminded of how fortunate we are to live in a free country. We're also thankful for all those who have served and protected our freedom and for those who continue to do so. You know, being the 74th governor of North Carolina has been a privilege and an honor. But during this wonderful season, it's also time to celebrate our democratic process and respect what I see to be the ultimate outcome of the closest North Carolina governor's race in modern history. Despite continued questions that should be answered regarding the voting process, I personally believe that the majority of our citizens have spoken, and we now should do everything we can to support the 75th governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper. The McCrory administration team will assist in every way to help the new administration make a smooth transition. You know, while exhibiting the highest of ethical standards, I am proud that our team leaves the state a much better place than when we came into office. Our initiatives in teacher pay, environmental cleanup, budget surpluses, transportation planning, paying off billions of dollars in debt, healthcare reform, tax reform, creating 300,000 new jobs, and through the Connect NC bonds, we have made major new investments in our state parks, National Guard, and our universities and community college that will have a positive impact on future generations in North Carolina. Now, during my remaining weeks as governor, this team will be focusing on developing a financial plan to be approved in a special legislative session to help our citizens and communities impacted by Hurricane Matthew and by the current wildfires in the western region of our state. I ask all of us to please pray for our new governor, Roy Cooper, our new president, Donald Trump, and their families. And I encourage everyone, now more than ever, to respect all of our public servants and the offices they were elected to hold. Thank you for the honor to serve the great state of North Carolina.
Probably the most difficult speech I've ever had to give in my life, but it was the right thing to do.
Have you listened to that in its entirety since then?
No, that's the first time. I didn't. You had it in your archives.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've listened to that speech, and I'm proud of the way I wrote that speech, and I did write that speech. That came from the heart. That wasn't written by any specialist. It's exactly how I felt the morning that I wrote it and the afternoon that I delivered it. In the family quarters of the governor's mansion of North Carolina. And I'm proud of the way my team handled the transition. Despite its difficulty, despite our suspicions, it was time to move on. And the reason I'm playing this, there's going to be a point in time, and maybe it'll be December 5th or 6th, when the president, I hate to say it because I supported President Trump so strongly, but now that I'm reading some of the issues regarding the lawyers' team, and I saw the lawyers last week, Giuliani, present their evidence with very little evidence, I think we're about at that time where the president's going to have to deliver a speech talking about the transition, talking about his accomplishments, and talking about the future of our country. And coming up, I'm going to talk about some of those things that I want Donald Trump to do, because we're actually in very similar circumstances at a separate at a different level. I was dealing with a major crisis of a hurricane during the voter recount and some major wildfires. I was not going to leave office until I settled those issues. Donald Trump can do the same thing with the biggest crisis we've had since World War II, and that's this virus. Donald Trump can finish the job and have a legacy that will be second to none as President of the United States.
Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson, number one from 8 to 10. Thank you, Charlotte.
So all of us are going through a lot of change. Our radio station and our sister stations are now owned by a new company, and we're proud of that change. Looking forward to a new relationship. A lot of you are going through change, figuring out if are your kids in school or out of school. Can I go to work? Do I have to work from home? When do I wear a mask? When I don't wear a mask?
What are you going to do for Thanksgiving?
What are you going to do for Thanksgiving? What about travel arrangements? You know, we're getting so many pieces of advice right now. Much of the advice is conflicting. And then, of course, we have the executive branch and the legislative branch of our government going through major transition. Now, the Senate doesn't know what the transition will be until after January 3rd. Or is it 5th?
No, the Georgia election is the 5th.
5th.
Yeah.
So we don't even know who's going to control. So right now you got Chuck Schumer and McConnell sitting, are we going to have to switch offices?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have to change furniture? Who's going to have the smaller office? I've been through that before at Duke Power. Who's going to get the smaller office? And then, of course, the White House. Donald Trump has every right to legally challenge the outcome. I wish he would have hired a better legal team to do it. And Rudy Giuliani and I consider ourselves at a minimal acquaintances, where we know each other. We've had wonderful conversations. We've smoked cigars together. But he's the wrong lawyer for election law. And now they have just dumped the lawyer that made some serious accusations about voter fraud regarding electronic machines. The Trump administration over the weekend, what was her name? Hunter? No, that's Hunter Biden. I don't have her name in front of me, but we all know who we're talking about. She's actually used to be out of UNC Chapel Hill.
Yep.
But they've dumped her. They say she's not a part of the Trump legal team. I guess the point is, what my advice to the president at this point in time is the same advice I gave to myself and friends of mine gave to me facing very similar circumstances. The recount wasn't going my way. I was dealing with crisis, and I knew I had to sooner or later accept the results, which was very difficult to do because I thought there was fraud. Still do to this day, but I'm not going to pull a Stacey Abrams and talk about it every day.
You're talking about Sidney Powell.
Sidney Powell. Yeah, she's been dumped. She was on the stage with Rudy Giuliani just Thursday, I believe, and she's already been dismissed from the Trump legal team. It's just so disjointed and unorganized, and I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, a statement released yesterday afternoon, Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis said that Powell is, quote, not a member of the Trump legal team. She is also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity, and so on and so forth.
Well, they didn't say that last week. So this is what I think Donald Trump ought to do right now, and Mike Pence. They ought to successfully roll out this virus solution that they helped initiate. They led the effort to come up with a vaccine, and now they ought to successfully roll it out between now and the time, most likely, President-elect Biden will be sworn in as President of the United States on the 21st. And if they do that, they deserve a heck of a lot of credit because they got all the blame for the virus. They ought to take the credit for coming up with a vaccine.
I thought a good start was last week reassembling the original task force and holding that press conference with Birx and Fauci and Vice President Pence at the helm. That was the original way it was supposed to go, right?
So finish the COVID distribution, get it done, and don't let the president-elect come up with excuses on why it couldn't be done because he's not being provided information. In fact, I would even invite him to the press conference or the announcement in which you're rolling this thing out through the Pentagon and say, Mr. Biden, we've got a good plan. We want you to follow through with this plan because it's set in place for you to make it happen.
Do you think he would do that, though? Do you think Biden would come and...
But they're putting Biden in a spot to go, thank you very much, Mr. President, as opposed to giving Biden an excuse.
No, I completely agree with you.
Because right now, Biden is being given an excuse. Well, I'm not being told anything. What's being done out of the Pentagon?
No, I think what you say makes total sense. I just wonder if Biden would go along and show up.
He ought to invite him anyway, whether he shows up or not. He would have to show up. Mr. President-elect, I invite you to our announcement of exactly how we're rolling this out and have all the top Pentagon brass out there saying this is how it's done. It's going to be well organized. We've got the resources in place. Mr. Biden, when you finally take it over, it's already going to be out there. All you can do is screw it up.
And I guess the secondary question there would be, if he showed up to accept it, would Trump pass the baton as you say he should?
Absolutely he should do that.
He should, but will he? Would he?
I don't know.
That's the question.
I'm saying he should do it for his own legacy, and then he gets the credit for it, as opposed to either Biden getting the credit or Biden blaming him for an unsuccessful rollout that maybe Biden will screw up a month or two or three from now. And then I also think Donald Trump ought to talk about the issues that are still so important to him. Not about him. Talk about the issues where he's so dead on. Foreign policy with China. Foreign policy with Iran. Foreign policy with Iraq and Afghanistan. Immigration. Police. Safety. Taxes. Man, he's got a chance to go out strong. And he ought to take advantage of that, as opposed to giving the president-elect an excuse of, oh, if only we would have had a better transition, I would have had a better first year. Because I can hear those excuses already being developed by the Biden team.
844 on WBT, we'll join Jim Zocchi and talk Panthers and Hornets. Some big developments for both teams over the weekend, including a shutout at Bank of America Stadium yesterday. New Serum Brewing Company brings us the Zoke.
I need a New Serum beer to deal with these changes right now, and I don't even drink.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
All right, 9 minutes in front of 9 o'clock here on WBT on a Monday. Pat McCrory Show continues, and thanks to New Serum Brewing Company, we bring on the WBT sports director and part of the Carolina Panthers broadcast team. He saw something yesterday he hadn't seen in 5 years with the Panthers. Jim Zocchi and all the rest of us witnessed a Panthers shutout.
Rare occurrence for sure, and especially this year after giving up 46 points the week before, did not see that coming. But the defense obviously played their best game of the year, had a quarterback making his first ever NFL start without a lot of experience in P.J. Walker. So all in all, it was really a fun game yesterday against Detroit.
So I got to ask you questions outside of sports. What's the fan experience like now? I went to the first game, home game.
Yep.
Bo and I went to the first game together.
Mm-hmm. And all he
did was kind of awkward. Bo held my hand during the whole time.
Yeah, I remember it well.
It was just very awkward. He felt very insecure.
And all he did was say, the music's too loud. The music's too loud.
They didn't play Beatles. That was the problem. They kept playing like, what's that band you like? Def Leppard.
Yeah, a little Def Leppard.
So tell us about, is the fan experience changing at all? What do you think?
Well, it's probably similar to what you saw then. It was like 5,200 fans that were there. There's not a lot of other than PA music as far as what's going on the field there. So it is, it's obviously, it's, I wouldn't say toned down, but there's less going on because there's less for people to see as far as being in the stands, the number of people that are there to see something.
How about outside the stadium? Is there much activity? You know, one of the great parts of going, no, just empty, huh?
Not much. I mean, yeah, there's really not tailgating or anything going on like there used to be. It's where you used to have that experience over there on Mint Street is mm-hmm. now basically a corridored lines of getting people in safely distanced and, instead of being a gathering area there. So it's just kind of what you got to deal with this year.
Yeah. How about from a media standpoint for you guys, since it's just kind of different? What's the challenges for you as the media? You know, as a play-by-play announcer, is it any different now than it was when you had a big crowd?
At least there is a crowd. The worst is when there's no people at all. We've had that. But at least with a little bit of a crowd, you get some reaction mm-hmm. and the music and that kind of thing. So there's that. But that's not too bad, though. The ones are when they're on the road. Like this week, they'll be at Minnesota, but we'll be in the stadium at Bank of America Stadium here in Charlotte, calling it from an empty stadium in just like a total of maybe eight of us that are working from the radio side when you put the whole radio team together behind the scenes and all that. So those are the ones that are a little bit more different to call.
And when you call I know we've talked about this before, but refresh my memory here. When you call those, how many feeds do you have, or are you watching the same feed that we watch at home?
We got two. So we have one, we see what you see, which is, say, if it's Fox Television, we get that broadcast. And then we get what's called the All 22, which is kind of what the coaches would look at, where you get kind of a wider angle further out, and you can see literally all 22 football players beyond just what's the line of scrimmage and on the scene there. And then in our ears, we get pumped in the effects noise, which is the crowd noise that's being provided by Fox, actually, to us. At least we have some sense of crowd noise and that kind of thing while we're talking.
So there was a huge story this weekend, again now, with the Charlotte Hornets that we need to get your take on, Zoke. And we talked about LaMelo Ball being drafted on Thursday of last week, and now the Hornets make arguably the biggest free agent splash of the offseason. It's a mixed bag of reaction to this, $120 million guaranteed to a guy who used to be a star but hasn't been nearly what he used to be lately, Gordon Hayward. And remember, this is a guy that became a star with the Utah Jazz, then moved to Boston, and on that first game in Boston, he had that catastrophic leg injury, broke his leg, and then took a full season to come back. And when he came back, Kemba Walker joined him there in Boston, and he's been a good player but not a great player. I guess the Hornets are banking that he's going to be a great player again.
Yeah, and that's the concern, is like no one's saying he's not a good player, but he's not been a healthy player. And if he's not playing, he doesn't do any good. He's been injured the last couple of years in various ways. And then the fact that it's a big contract, so it's now precludes you from being able to make any other big moves to kind of fix your roster beyond that. So now you've kind of got what you got. And I kind of equated it to not so much the type of player, but like Cleveland, a team that's outside the playoffs that has Kevin Love. And every year they seem to try to want to move that Kevin Love big contract, and they can't find any takers for it. You're going to have 4 years of Gordon Hayward and probably not a contract you can move if it doesn't work out the way you want.
And the big issue is, will he get hurt? If he gets hurt, yeah. My gosh.
And yeah, you can't fix the roster. You're right, because it becomes like there's no room. And they the irony in all this is they had to waive Nick Batum to make this work. And he's been kind of the albatross on their cap space over the last couple of years with the big contract that he got.
Well, what's exciting about this new guy from Ball? Is he a good outside shooter? Does he drive? I mean, if our first-round draft pick is a great passer, is this the guy that we're going to pass to on the outside wing? And is he going to shoot the ball then? Or we're going to have an outside shooter? Is he one of them, or is he an inside guy?
No, he's a scorer. He can actually do both. He can shoot from the outside. I mean, he's a good all-around offensive player, but he is, again, injury-prone, and he would definitely be a key piece. It gives you a bigger shooting option, because having Devontae Graham and having Terry Rozier, you have smallish guards in the backcourt. This gives you some size on the wing where you can get some points that way, too.
I think it immediately makes the Hornets more interesting. It makes them more exciting. The question mm-hmm. is what does it mean 3 or 4 years down the line?
Yeah.
So
I think the other question is, Terry Rozier going to come back? Is he being trade bait right now?
Yeah, he might be, because if you're going to make room for LaMelo Ball to be your point guard, Rozier's obviously the guy that they would move, because I think they really like the value they got in Devontae Graham, who emerged as the most improved player in the league last year. And Rozier's a good player, but if you can, you could have three in the backcourt and rotate them through, and you don't have to put Ball in the starting lineup right away. But I wouldn't be surprised if down the road, if they don't move Rozier, because obviously LaMelo is the guy that they drafted for a reason.
Well, I just want to let Mitch Kupchak know right now that I'm available. and I would do it for half of what we're paying some of these free agents.
Yeah,
right. If we got into a when I had a basketball court at the governor's mansion, and I beat every prisoner that I played basketball against for 4 years. Not one beat me in the game of horse.
I think we all know where
not
this is leading.
Not one beat me, and we need someone from outside.
You know where this is leading, Zoke, right? I mean, this is obviously we're leading towards a Governor McCrory versus LeVar Ball one-on-one game.
No, LeVar,
that would
I'm
be a
someone
great
who I'm someone who could shoot the ball from outside. I proved it for 4 years as governor.
I was really one of the best regional referees. One of the best regional referees as well.
Regional referees? I was one of the best national referees.
Oh, national referees.
I called traveling on Michael Jordan in 1984. I was the only one with the courage to do that.
If the league goes into a bubble situation again, are you willing to move into a bubble to play?
For half the money that they paid. Who's the draft choice? Who's the guy we just signed free agency? How much are we paying him?
$120 million.
$120 million.
Over guaranteed. How many years?
Four.
Guaranteed.
I could do
It's like being president. You get 4 years.
I could do 100 and some. I'd cut it in half and offer him a good deal. I got a set shot from outside, and occasionally I get off the ground.
And that would throw people off with your lack of jumping and the set shot. It'll throw them off.
I'm going to bring basketball back to the way it was like 50 or 60 years ago.
And then get the ladder out and get the ball out of the peach basket.
No, that's David Chadwick who did that.
I think Zoki's giving me a new tagline here. I'm Bo Thompson along with very popular regional politician Pat McCrory. All right, Zoke, thank you.
All right. See
you. New Sarum Brewing Company, WBT Sports Director, and you can hear him tonight at 6 o'clock on Panther Talk. Hour number two of the nationally popular Pat McCrory is coming up.
Yeah, we're going to be talking more about what Trump needs to do. I've got another major recommendation, and what Biden's not doing, which just disgusts me. Biden's saying one thing, and all his little surrogates are doing something else to so-called bring our country together. They're doing the opposite, and the media is not calling them out on it. It's talking about the media.
Hi, Governor and Bo. Your show is the highlight of my day. Thank you so much for all that you do.
You know how cute I always thought you were.
Is there a book and page number you can reference me to, please? I don't have a copy of the report in front of me.
Time to play the game!
The majesty of this place, what it represents.
14 years as Charlotte mayor.
The history made here, it is an overwhelming experience.
Well said.
This is sort of like a schizophrenic rodeo.
Yes, I hear you.
4 years as NC governor.
Governor Bo, thanks for having me in. I appreciate it. Great to be on WBT, the big legacy station.
Oh, man.
Behind the scenes conversations.
We served together when I was governor of Indiana, and he did a great job. Pat McCrory.
WBT presents.
I don't know how good he is on radio. You'll have to tell him that I said that.
The Pat McCrory Show.
I'll do even better
with Bo Thompson.
I'll do even better than that. I will replay that line for him when we get on.
Hey, McCrory!
God.
Keep giving him hell, buddy.
Well, I don't do this very often. In fact, the last time I did this, I think it was Scott Padgett on the other end of the line.
I hate
but
Scott Padgett.
I'm gonna call an audible that you don't know about.
Sunshine.
Because
good day, sunshine.
On the WBT hotline,
good, day,
good friend of the show. In fact, he's a fixture on Thursdays, and he has an update about City of Hope CLT, the campaign we introduced last week. David Chadwick is with us on a Monday.
Oh, and I also need to do something I hadn't done. It's my wife's birthday today.
Well, happy birthday, Ann.
Happy birthday, Ann.
David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. And Pat, I'll give Ann a great birthday present today because, you know, we launched this City of Hope CLT.org campaign to raise money to feed hungry kids here in the Charlotte area. And just 4 days into this, I wanted to give you the most recent update. You know, Moments of Hope Church, the church I pastor, is doing a $50,000 matching gift with WBT. And as of this morning, we have $11,300 that have been given so far by the WBT listeners. That's a matched gift. So we are over 22% to our goal of $50,000 being matched to $100,000 to feed the kids.
And I hope that doesn't include my donation yet.
It does not, nor does it include Maryland's and mine.
Fantastic.
You know, we want to give $1,000, and I know you said you did. So That's going to up it even more, challenge the listeners. What a great week to be able to think about hungry kids is when we all are thinking about Thanksgiving, family, faith, and hope.
And I'll tell you, I've been watching the news this weekend. They've been seeing the long lines on these food drives in like San Antonio, Texas, and so forth. Mile-long cars waiting to get some food for their kids. And so I'm so proud of you of picking this as the cause to help, especially during Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's Feed the Kids. And again, repeat, if you want to contribute to Feed the Kids, what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, go to cityofhopeclt.org. You can donate easily. And, Pat, we're adding on to this. We're going to send people a card that they can send to a loved one and say, hey, instead of buying you a Christmas present this year, I'm making a donation for X amount of dollars, and we'll send that to them that they can give to their friends. And also, anybody who gives a donation of over $50, I'll send a signed copy of my most recent book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, to help people get through these tough times as well. It's just another way we want to thank the listeners at WBT for their kindness. And, you know, we can reach this goal. We can do this.
$11,207 on our way to trying to raise $50,000. This is WBT. It's Moments of Hope Church. It's the Charlotte Rescue Mission, Camino Community Center, and the King's Kitchen, David, as you told us last week. And this is, I knew that listeners would come through, but I got to tell you, on a Monday, I'm not quite sure I thought we'd be here yet. This is great.
This is outstanding, Bo. Again, we're over 22% there with just 4 days into it. And there's just no reason we can't do this. And, you know, bottom line, that the hashtag is Feed the Kids. I mean, the Pats, you said it so well last Thursday. These kids didn't do anything to deserve this problem. They're victims of just a terrible problem in our community life. So let's do something about it. Let's put aside all the rancorous political divisions and come together against a common enemy, hunger, that's hurting our kids.
And so many of us have never had to deal with hunger. I've been very fortunate to never have to be hungry. And it's just hard to imagine a child being hungry. And now, as we mentioned last week, a lot of kids aren't going to school. And that's the one meal they had was going to school.
Exactly. And then they can't not only have that meal, they're falling behind even further in their academics. Mm-hmm. And the food is what helped their mind operate well so that they could learn better. It's all a vicious cycle.
David, thank you very much. And again, we'll send you out here reminding the listeners that the goal is to raise $50,000, and Moments of Hope Church has pledged to match the donation up to $100,000. So this is 11,207 is making great progress here, and we'll continue to get updates from you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, bonus. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, a lot of people can give year-end gifts tax-free. It'll go through the church. It's tax-free. And the final thing is 100% of every donation goes straight to the kids.
Thank you, David. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you, David, son.
Thanks, guys.
David Chabot every Sunday morning, 8 a.m.
Good day, sunshine. I thought you were talking about when I woke up. During the break, I was telling you when I woke up this morning, I walked across the hall to my little study where I have a TV, and I stepped in something in my bare feet. Mo, my dog Mo, on my wife's birthday, had a little accident right in my bare foot.
Well, hang on. Before we go to break,
Bo was leaving something for Ann.
she left the birthday present.
Mo did.
Yes.
Mo did for Annie. We're going to take a birthday walk today with Mo and Ann. And try a little acupuncture out on Mo's,
I think so.
Mo's hip.
Non-barefooted, but an outside this time.
It's nice him to leave a present. Yeah. He was thinking. Well,
what's the least he can do?
Yeah, he's still mad. The statues. The first statue ever taken down in North Carolina was not of the Confederate soldier or George Washington. It was Mo McCrory. Still mad about that.
Sounds fired up today.
One thing I'm trying to do during this virus is have no close conversations with anyone. Like you and I are making a point to stay at least 6 to 7 feet apart in this studio, but we're not wearing our mask because we've got to do our job and talk. And
if you don't look at somebody, will that keep you from getting the virus? Because
yeah, that's part of the rules we have in this studio is no eye contact with the host, Pat McCrory.
I did see a story this morning that if you wear eyeglasses, you are that much more protected.
That's one reason I wear eyeglasses.
I know.
In fact, you're probably more protected because they say a lot of the virus, like colds, go through your eyes.
And I don't mean that if you wear eyeglasses, it's going to keep you from getting it, but I'm saying that it's another layer of possible protection.
Okay, I got to own up. I went to the grocery store the other day with my mask, my knitted mask. As I walked in, I put it on. I had it around my neck, put it on, and then I ran into someone we know very well in this community, a leader in this community, had a conversation with this individual and pulled down my mask back around my neck, stayed 8 to 9 feet away, had a wonderful conversation about a lot of things going on. Then I proceeded to turn around to the meat department where the person, I stepped away from the counter. Almost no one was in the grocery store. So I spoke without a mask. But again, I don't get near anybody. I don't want to have close one-on-one conversation. So the mask is, you know, you're supposed to keep your distance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're coughing and everything, you should definitely wear a mask. In fact, you shouldn't be out if you're coughing and stuff. So I proceed to turn around and move my cart after putting my on-sale New York strip steaks in my cart. And all of a sudden, I hear a lady yelling at me from probably 15 yards away. McCrory, you know better. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. McCrory, you know better. And I'm going, I'm not anywhere near anybody. And I put down my mask also where it won't fog up my glasses. You know better. And it was obviously, I could tell, she had the look. She wasn't a supporter of me. Kind of that eclectic left, older look. Dilworth.
Probably sat in the parking lot and watched you go in.
Biden signs, Black Lives Matter signs in her yard. She drove probably, you know, I knew her whole makeup immediately when I saw. And then she started yelling. Of course, the more she yells, she's spitting out stuff. So then she yells, I'm visiting my 80-year-old mother on Thanksgiving, and you're putting me at risk and my mother at risk, and I'm 20 yards away. And I wanted to tell her, yell back, but I figured that's dangerous because you know, shouldn't sing or yell or anything.
Right.
I wanted to go, you shouldn't be visiting your 80-year-old grandmother. Isn't that what everyone's recommending?
Right.
If you don't live with the individual? But I didn't. I didn't want to use logic because that's when I realized it had nothing to do with COVID. It had to do with me. She was not a fan of me.
And this is not the first time recently that you've had one of these moments.
The second time it's happened.
Yeah.
So I got a better mask.
That is more.
Yeah, my aunt got me it. Because the knit mask, I really like the knit mask, especially outside.
Yeah.
Love that thing. Anyway, she yelled at me. And of all things, I go to the cash register where she's in front.
Of course.
And I had my mask on. She wouldn't even look up and make eye contact. But I almost turned her and went, you shouldn't really go, you know, I was going to say in a really self-righteous way, you shouldn't go visit your mother, you know. That's not the right thing to do. She's 80 years old. But I didn't, because it's her right to go visit her mother.
Took the high road.
I always take the high road, you know that.
Right.
Quit looking at me. You just broke the rules.
Man, no. Sorry.
So one thing I'm very upset about is the media, especially CNN, Wolf Blitzer, and Cooper Anderson. You're supposed to correct me.
Anderson Cooper.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this COVID, let's get some facts. First of all, well over 99.5% of the people, well over 95.5% of the people get the COVID and recover, and they don't die. In fact, the number has gone up. Let me give you some numbers that CNN won't give you, and neither will WBT, SOC, WBT, everything. The death rate has moved from 1 to 200 people who get the virus to 1 to 400 who get the virus. Isn't that good news? But we don't talk about it. We don't talk about who's getting sick and who's dying. The media will find the one young college student who dies in our nation from virus and do a major story on that one young person, but won't do a story on how many other young people died this week in college of automobile accidents, of cancer, of suicide. There is absolutely no benchmarking regarding how many other people are dying in America and from what? Drug overdoses, The media doesn't want to tell you that. It's all about the virus, which is important. It's a new disease, it's a new virus, and we ought to be concerned. But we aren't benchmarking it against anything, and that's wrong. It's devious. It's bad journalism. And sadly, well over 80% of the people dying, even here in North Carolina, are dying in nursing homes. Over 80 years of age, and that's sad, but we aren't talking about it. And almost everyone who is dying has pre-existing conditions. Now, the media will focus on those few tragedies in which you don't have pre-existing conditions. And sadly, it's obesity, cancer, Alzheimer's, and sadly, it's primarily among African Americans and Hispanics, because there's a large obesity problem in those communities. A lot of that is health issues, because they buy, because of economic reasons, cheaper food with a lot of fat and bread and French fries, and that causes obesity. And obesity will kill you. If not by the virus, it'll kill you through diabetes or other diseases. I'm just here to just put some parameters on this terrible virus that we need to benchmark it. And wear your face mask. Listen, I probably should have put it on and not taken it down at any time. But when you're 20 yards away from someone in a huge with 15-foot ceilings...
News Talk 1110-993 WBT on this Monday, November 23rd, Thanksgiving week. Don't forget, 704-374-3800. The lines are open, waiting for you to chime in. On a big Monday, the Big Finish brought to you by Rug Source is coming your way in our next segment, and we are filling up the queue right now, so call us.
So I'm trying to figure out, what should the president do? And I gave a few recommendations. First of all, he should focus almost all his energy and time between now and January the 21st. Let the lawyers deal with the recount and legalities, and I wish he would get some better lawyers. But also, work on the virus, work on the vaccine getting out. Your administration deserves the credit for it. Finish the job. Don't let Biden jump on the bandwagon and then take credit for it. And invite him to the show. But show you're the leader between now and the 21st and make it happen. That's what I think you ought to do. I'm trying to figure out the lawyer thing. Who's the woman that they just released from his legal team?
Oh, yeah. Hang on.
You forgot her name already? It's been like 20 minutes. Listen to Bo Thompson work. We've never done this, just watching Bo Thompson work.
No. I
just got a note from a good friend of mine who said that some other lawyers are still saying that this lawyer who used to work for Trump but doesn't work for Trump but maybe never worked for Trump is still on to something about these machines. And I'm still curious about that because I think those are the same kind of machines that screwed me in Durham. So, of course, I have a natural conflict of interest. I want something to be found out because I had a whole file about these machines 4 years ago.
Sidney Powell.
See how much longer you remember their name. You know, there are Alzheimer's tests.
Obviously, you couldn't remember her name either.
I've already failed the Alzheimer's test. I've owned up to it.
I don't know why. I cannot remember.
Sidney Powell.
No, I know. And John Stewart, like, instantaneously texted me.
Sidney Powell.
Yes, Arianne.
Sidney Powell.
Yes.
So, I mean, she's a very respected lawyer. And I've heard some people have written me and said, you know, there's word that she may have been dismissed because of there's some legality that she was also being paid by another group that's a bipartisan group. But she still may be on to something. I don't know. But if you are, you can't just talk about theories and suspicions. You got to come out with the facts. And I had a whole file of this in 2016 after my election. Everyone sent me all this information from all over the nation on how the machines in Durham were corrupted. And that's why I'm upset at the Trump administration. They had 4 years to check out these machines. 4 years! where they had Homeland Security and the State Department. They could have checked all these types of rumors that were out there 4 years ago that Sidney talked about last week.
Sidney Powell.
Oh, you don't have to brag that you now remember her last name.
Or if I'm you, Powell Sidney.
After 30 seconds, you still remember her last name.
Powell Sidney.
So what do you think the president ought to do? I mean, Republicans are very divided about this. Should the president keep fighting? Should he keep the current lawyers that he has? Should he appeal to whatever courts? Right now he's losing in courts. What about the recount in Georgia? Because if he says he's still president, which he tweeted out today, he still says he won the election. He's got to win Pennsylvania, and he's got to then win Georgia or Arizona and Nevada. And it's just not happening. So what do you think at 704-374-3800? Am I like Chris Christie just going, come on, move on. Come on, man, move on. And I'll tell you the other thing, what we ought to do, no more than anything else, the Senate is the most important thing in the world right now. And I want the president to help in Georgia, to help win those two Senate seats. Or the radical left will take over this country. And I don't want that to happen. Thank God Tom Tillis won here in North Carolina. And now we've got to get the other two senators elected in Georgia. What are you laughing at?
I'm getting so many texts now. Sidney Powell. And then I just had one that says, if you really want to mess with the governor, every time you say Sidney Powell now, I'm going to say Colin Powell.
Oh, boy.
Sidney Powell. That'd be a good kid's name, Sidney, because it...
Colin Powell. Touche.
Sidney Powell. Why was she on stage last week, and then over the weekend, suddenly she's dismissed from the governor's legal team? Is it some quirk in the law where they're worried about their breaking the law? Is it because she's working for a bipartisan commission and they might find out the rigged election maybe helped some Republicans in some areas? Who knows? But it's all conjecture with no facts. I wanted to find the facts during my recount. I had all these files talking about the rigged machines in Durham. Never found them. Trump administration had 4 years to check into this. He wasn't served well with some of the people around him. I really believe that. And that's his fault. You know, that's the dilemma. Matt Doherty and I have talked about this. You know, Matt was fired as Carolina coach. Mm-hmm. He's now part of the BT family.
Right.
And he said for the first 4 years after he was fired, he blamed the situation, 90% of the situation, on other people. And Trump's kind of going through that. I've been through that. You know, it was the I-77 and some of the people in North Mac. It was the people who brought up HB2. It was whatever. You know, all my blame game people. And then Matt said something very good to me. He said, you know, it took me about 4 years and I realized 90% of the problem was me. That I let other people determine the outcome of my coaching career or the outcome of me being governor. And now Trump's got to do a self-evaluation of himself going, why did I lose? And then move forward. Why was it even close? It shouldn't even been close based upon the accomplishments that he did. I felt the same way, by the way. I felt like my administration accomplished more in 4 years than any governor in North Carolina history did in 8 years. I firmly say that. Not from an ego standpoint, from a factual standpoint. So why did we lose? Because we let other issues take control of the narrative. And that was my fault. And sometimes I think Donald Trump let other issues take control of the narrative.
Well, and to your point about going forward, there are some people that believe that going forward to him ultimately is going to mean running again for 2024. At what point do you have to say, all right, I got to stop and make a graceful exit so I can re-enter rather than go the scorched earth route? And that may be what some people think he should do. That's fine. I'm just putting it out there.
I think he ought to go get this virus out there, solve the biggest problem that our country's faced in a long time, and he promised the virus before year's end, and the media laughed at him. The media mocked him. How dare he's saying that for political reasons? Well, all of a sudden, the drug companies announced the virus a week after the election.
Yeah. So what you're saying is take credit for what you did, then go off and dust off and recalibrate and possibly go at it again.
Determine your future, but finish the job. Finish the job.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT.
8 minutes in front of 10 o'clock.
What is that?
That would be the theme music for the Brett Winterbull Show.
Oh, because Brett Winterbull.
Yes.
You mispronounced his name one more time.
Sidney Powell.
Because Brett Winterbull is going to be filling in for Joe Riley at 10:45 today.
Yeah, he will be on the Bill.
I used to do that, but Brett has taken my place, apparently.
Bill O'Reilly update at 11:45 today.
Yeah, good for Brett.
And if you do, you know, that's a national.
Thanks, Brett.
That's a nationally syndicated show.
Yeah, I could have been national, but no, Brett's got to do it.
You've actually done it before.
I did it last year.
Yeah. So you know what that's about. So
it's good for Brett.
Brett Winterbull at 11:45, right before Rush, and then after Rush. So he is the bookends to Rush Limbaugh today.
Yeah.
Is Brett Winterbull. So 11:45, and then again 3 to 6 here on WBT, and then Panther Talk tonight at 6, also on the Great Colossus. Right now it's the Big Finish, brought to you by Rug Source on the Pat McCrory Show.
Now, I'm still recovering from our great barbecue. We had a team meeting on Friday. I'd like to thank Matt Hanlon.
Mm-hmm. And Noble great. Smoke. What a great place.
Oh, what a super meal there.
Yeah. First time I've been
first
out
time
there.
I've had a free meal by Intercom. And then Intercom trades us.
That was the Big Finish.
That was the last meal, the first and last meal ever paid for by Intercom. The Big Finish, brought to you by Rug Source.
That's right, Rug Source.
Appreciate their sponsorship. Let's get to our call. By the way, you have a better chance of, no, you have a worse chance of getting on this show than testing positive for the virus. But if you do name calling, you ain't getting on. I just want to let you know that. If you call me or Bo a name, or David from Asheville, name you're not getting up. Well, there's no name calling on the Pat McCrory Show.
And also, there's no vaccine for the show yet either.
Yeah.
Governor.
Yeah.
The show. You said that you don't remind us like Stacey Abrams every day that you lost the election. You just remind us every other day.
No, I didn't.
But
no,
you do every day remind us that. You know the game. And
that's the biggest bunch of crock. I tell you, I lost.
We don't know what you
stop,
know. But
stop. That is the biggest bunch of crock. I tell you, I lost the election about every day. Stacey Abrams says she won the election. She was robbed of the election. I never say that. Stacey Abrams is getting a free ride by the national media because she's doing the exact same thing Donald Trump is doing, destroying democracy.
Hey, Pat, this is Daryl Mullis. I'm in Dallas, North Carolina, and I think the whole election was rigged. I think that Trump's doing the right thing, going after the fraud. Hey, that's their most precious thing, other than our amendments that we have that God give us.
I hope he finds it. But you're running out of time. And I wish you'd get an election law lawyer to help you. And who's the woman's name that...
I'm glad you asked. Sidney Powell.
just checking. Just checking. It's been 5 minutes.
Pat, I just don't get it. You're falling right in line with what the mainstream media wants you to.
Oh, God.
Sidney Powell was never part of Trump's legal team. They put out a statement and she followed it up with one of her own. She is fighting for we the people. Please do some research before you speak to that.
I read the quote from the release from the Trump team.
Yeah, here it is.
I read the quote.
Hang on. I had it a minute
ago. And she gave the clear appearance at the press conference that she was a part of the team next to Rudy. And I love Rudy, and I like her, too.
Rudy saying over the weekend, quote, she is also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. She is not a member of the Trump legal team.
And they gave the impression she was when they shared the podium. It's not part of the mainstream media. Come on, man.
And I think
I like her, by the way.
They got rid, didn't get rid, but put Cindy Powell on another level because she was going criminal. That's what my two cents is. Thank you.
I hope you're right. I don't know. Going criminal. I think they're also worried about lawsuits. If you make certain accusations, you can then be sued for making false accusations. And the Trump campaign was worried about some of Sidney's accusations.
Hey, Governor, it's Dave from Asheville, your man. I was listening to you and Bo. I had to run out and get some snacks. And,
yeah.
So I want to call in the studio and I'll let you know that lawyer's name is Sidney Powell, man.
Oh, Sidney
yeah.
Sidney
Powell,
great.
Yeah.
Great. So, oh, no, the governor's said
right,
Colin
trying
Powell.
To help out. Y'all help
great.
Me.
Great. David from Asheville's having to correct.
Piling on.
Bo Thompson.
Yes.
Davidson graduate.
No one's ever gotten a name wrong on this show before.
Got all these people mad at me for dare questioning Sidney Powell. Oh, I hope she comes up with something. We've had 4 years to talk about these election machines. Now, tomorrow
is Tuesday.
Well, first of all, I got to again wish Ann a happy birthday. I'd play a famous Paul McCartney Beatles song, but she wouldn't want to hear it. So instead, we leave this show playing a birthday song for Annie.
I didn't know you were
Mo left her a present this morning on the floor. Yeah. And I stepped right into the present today, Big Mo.
Oh, man. Boy, you are.
Sidney Powell's working the boards right now.
Give me a workout today.
When it's my wife's birthday, it's birthday for the whole week, for the whole month, for the whole year.
And a happy birthday, Sidney Powell, whenever your birthday is, too.
The in-dash OLED display in the Cadillac Escalade has 38 total diagonal inches of color display. So why do we give it a curve, too? I guess you could say we like to bend the rules. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.